Return to Who Sucks Less coming up at 4:30 right after emails on our question, good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK. As we head on down to California, this is something that will forever be burned into both these people's brains. Pre-dawn clash between pets and wildlife in Mammoth Lakes ended with a husband and wife hurt and a young black bear dead. Police say the encounter began around 6 a.m. on Monday when the woman rushed outside after hearing her dogs barking and saw a 17-month-old, 70-pound bear fighting with one of her dogs. She went over and tried to break this fight up. Then the bear allegedly turned on her, biting and clawing. So now her husband comes out to help, and he was also injured before the pair used a water bottle and the blunt end of a hatchet to beat the animal back.
The blunt end.
He critically injured the bear with a blunt end, the backside of it.
No, but why not just use the hatchet? The bear's attacking you.
That's my thought, but it worked.
Because it's going to stay in there. You don't want to, you know what I mean? You just want to keep pounding that thing on the head.
I see, right. You get the blade stuck in there. The bear's not dead. Now it's just real pissed.
Same with a hammer. You don't want to use a claw in, because if you stick it in there, you're going to yank it back out and do it again instead of just bapping the thing on
the
head.
Now that you say that, that makes sense. I think instinctually, I would have just tried to hack that bear.
Me too. We both be dead.
Yeah, good point.
But that's it.
Mm-hmm. Same thing with a meat cleaver. You always want to use the backside. You know what I'm saying? Couple drove themselves to a hospital and are expected to recover, as are the dogs. Wildlife officers later located and euthanized the bear. I guess they just put it out of its misery.
Yeah.
Calling such aggressive behavior extremely rare for the area. Bears almost always avoid humans and will flee when confronted. Except this one, because he was attacking a dog.
He was fighting the dog, not the people.
Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
Well, that's just, generally, right, the black bear's not going to attack. But once it's attacking the dog and she jumps in.
And you jump in,
Now the bear is all worked up. You've seen those people, like, a fist fight, and they don't even look, and they swing and hit, like, the wrong person.
Oh, yeah. I will say this, and just with these videos, you can see a lot of bear videos, and it seems like if it's a dog and a bear, the bear will fight, right? Mm-hmm. Some dogs try to get out of it. Some dogs are ready to throw down, too. For whatever reason. If a cat runs out there, the bear takes off.
I don't
know about this tiny-ass cat, but cats are like the crackhead who finally snapped. Like, they might weigh 87 pounds, but somehow you just know, like, do not mess with this.
It's going to hurt.
Yeah. I mean, the cats go out there like,
every once in a while, a bear gets involved with a mountain lion of some type.
Sure.
Just being out in the middle of nowhere. They probably just know. I know what this thing is. To some degree.
You know, that is actually a good point. Like, you're a smaller version of the killer? Yeah.
No, thanks. Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
That just makes me think of something. Mike, could you do research to find out there's ever been a serial killer that's also a dwarf? I'm just off the top of my... Right? Because you're saying, like, the bear looks at the house cat and says, I know what you are. You're just a smaller version. And I'm like, no, that's a good point. But I just thought to myself, I've never heard of, like, the dwarf serial killer. Has to have been one, at least, right?
Yeah.
All right.
Let's see what we hear. Yes, there have been documented cases of serial killers with dwarfism or a form of proportionate dwarfism, though they are exceptionally rare. There's a man in Brazil, Marcelo de Jesus Silva, a prominent real-world example, a Brazilian serial killer who was just 1.28 meters in height. Because of his diminutive stature, he was nicknamed Chucky.
Oh, man.
Well, maybe that's what set him off.
He was a part of a criminal group and was accused of participating in more than 20 murders, robberies, and drug trafficking. Damn. We also have right here in the States in 1935, Henry J. Fernicus?
All right.
Fernicus? Described in contemporary news reports as, I'm not going to say that word, the small killer, committed suicide with poison after escaping custody. He was apprehended by authorities following a multi-state manhunt for his involvement in several murders.
Mm-hmm. See, so, trust no one.
Damn.
There you go.
You would think the world's already against you.
Why
do something evil?
Because the world's already against it.
I'm just saying, it seems like there's challenges that arise with being a little person.
Without being a serial killer as well.
Correct.
Don't complicate it.
Well, hey, there was that crazy guy in Baltimore.
Crazy guy in Baltimore.
Or in Maryland.
Oh, the guy that didn't have the arms.
He didn't have arms?
Oh,
he
God, that's
people.
Right.
Cornhole champion?
Right. And what is...
And think how fast he is, all right? Because he was driving. Wasn't he driving the car?
Yes.
He was driving. The dude has no arms, but he still carries a gun. And he got into an argument with the passenger about whatever. I have no idea. He threatened to shoot this passenger. And I don't know how quickly he did it, but this armless man managed to get a hold of his gun and shoot the dude. And then you find out, like, he's a marksman or something like that.
Mm-hmm. I've seen a video of him upside down on his little arm stumps doing cocaine.
Doing cocaine?
And then he flips over, walks over to a window, and shoots like a rifle.
Wait, he did a handstand, and he was doing cocaine?
Yes.
Wow. Okay. Some people are just built different. Hello, Alejandro. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola. How you doing, man?
So about 10 years ago, I want to say, I lived in Texas, and some of the roads out there, FMs, which farm to market, they're about 75 miles per hour or some such. So we lived in this little piece of land, about 10 acres. So I'm walking my nephew out to the front of the property. That's where the bus is going to pick him up. And I see this dead horse laying on the road. And I mean, you know, we're out in the country. Horse got loose. Dead horse got hit by a car at some point. And this was 6 in the morning, or around 6 in the morning. I can't really remember the time. Anyways, I look to my left, and there is a car in a ditch on the side of the road. The entire top of the car missing. Oh. There's a lady, and I remember exactly what she looked like. She had short hair, blonde. She was this white lady. She's holding onto the steering wheel, her entire face bloody. She must have been going 75 miles per hour at early in the morning. I'm not entirely sure when it happened. She hit this horse, and the horse, she must have hit the horse. You know, she was driving some Audi, a smaller car. She hit the horse. I'm almost certain she hit it in the legs, and the entire horse just ripped the entire top of her car off. She careened, and I'm pretty sure she ended up in the ditch. But I remember walking up to her, and she was trying to talk to me very calmly, but, I mean, you could tell that she was in shock. She, full blood, everything. She's telling me that she was on her way to San Antonio for a some kind of work conference, and I am just sitting there trying to calm her down. Somebody else stops by, and we call the police. She ended up being airlifted, but I just remember seeing this horse laying. And, you know, I don't even remember if the horse was alive, if it was just hurt. I don't remember any of that. The only thing that I can remember is this woman's face all bloodied up. I mean, the entire top of her car gone. She had to get airlifted. And what we were waiting there for, you know, while we were waiting there trying to calm her down, trying to keep her talking, because I don't really know what her situation is. I mean, for all I know, she could have had a broken neck or something. This horse is just laying on the side of the road, and it never occurred to us that, hey, maybe we should flag people down to be like, hey, slow down. Because those roads, it's a farm to market, it's 75 miles per hour. So those roads sometimes they're 80 miles per hour. This truck sees the horse last minute, slams on their brakes, and he must have hit this horse going 50 miles per hour, sent the entire truck flying up. But I just remember this.
Jesus Christ,
what a
man.
Day. What a morning. Well, did your buddy make his did your buddy make his buzz?
Oh, no, that was my nephew. He must have been like 6 years old. I mean, the bus showed up at some point. I don't even remember anymore. I'm almost certain he went to school, but I just remember like leaving right there in front of the house and running up to this lady. And I told him, hey, stay here, because I didn't want him to come out over here and see her. But, man.
And you said she was still holding on to the steering wheel?
She was still holding on to the steering wheel, yeah.
Dang, thank God she made it.
She must have been in so much shock. I don't even know if she did or not. I just remember her being airlifted, and I don't know what happened to her.
Wow. Well, that's we know crazy. What happened to the horse. Yeah. Damn.
That's had a horrible day.
Horse is gone,
yeah. Yeah, that's, I mean,
it's horrible.
I can understand being in shock if the top of my car has been ripped off because I slammed into a giant animal.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's fair. But just the idea of still holding the steering wheel, like, oh, yeah. Okay.
Well, there was one day in Baltimore, and we were going to Preakness. Now,
I hit a racehorse.
There is, in fact, there's a glue factory in
Jesus Christ.
In downtown Baltimore.
Oh, yeah.
Sometimes you can really smell it. Sometimes you can't.
But always right after Preakness.
Exactly. It was the day of Preakness. We're driving. It's a sunny day. It's the summer. Get the windows rolled down. Like, and the overwhelming smell of glue just hits you. You're just like,
Okay.
Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing 206-803-ROCK?
I mean, it's ridiculous.
Right. You just think if there's one day, you guys could slow production a little bit.
I still don't know if it's true, but I've definitely been at a racetrack where a horse has hurt itself.
Oh, yeah.
And they put up that little tent.
Yeah, and they should think.
That's my understanding. But I just remember
they did
as
it
a kid.
A couple of times last year. There was some track where the horses kept going down, and they'd show the video where you see these guys come out of a big white cloth, then they kind of cut away for a second, and you can hear a bang, and then it cuts back. And I'm like, well, we know what just happened, man. There's a guy with a shotgun. You don't show us, but you're, and then they pay him back. I'm like, it's still on the track, man. You would just think, like, I don't know. I thought I've heard that it happens. I just thought maybe they dragged them off somewhere and did it.
Right.
But it's like if you're sitting in the stands like, oh, there's Larry. All right.
Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
We one time went to the racetrack with on my mom's birthday, and it was this big thing. My dad actually had a race that was dedicated to her, had her name put up there on the board and whatnot. Yeah, one of the horses went down.
Oh,
oh
Jesus.
Oh, damn.
Pulled the curtain and everything. Happy birthday,
so, like, right, like, I've been at a track where that curtain's there, so I'm saying, I don't know. You don't see what happens to the horse afterwards. They can't be a gunshot because you'd hear it in the stands. But I'm like, do they just euthanize it right there?
I think so, man.
I swear my dad always told me that, and I was like, that can't be true. But I've also never seen a horse, like, with a leg bandage.
And there's a reason for that.
Just wrap it up, man.
Yeah.
I didn't see the horse die, but I guess a couple of years ago, they kept it kind of hush-hush at the kids' school. They have their harvest festival, and I get they had partnered up with some, like, local farmer or something like this. But he's going to bring a horse. And the kids can ride it around the parking lot where they set up hay and all this crap. And my wife's always involved in stuff. So she's there. The guy's running late. You know, they're making the phone calls. And the guy's finally like, hey, listen, we're going to show up, but we're going to be a little late. The horse we were bringing died on the way.
Oh, no.
I was like, kind of ghetto-ass horse does this dude have, man? Nothing happened to it. It just died. Yeah, so they showed up later with a different horse. I was like, okay, maybe he's a different group next time.
Good or bad, what image will you always remember seeing? 206-803-ROCK.
Horse couldn't take it. Not another one of these damn school things.
She's just like, we just couldn't tell the kids. You know, they're all excited for the horse. We couldn't say, like, it's dead, kids.
There's a horse coming.